table legs are what might come to mind when thinking of someone tooling a piece of wood rotating on a lathe, but the craft of wood turning can be used to make all sorts of wooden objects, with one how-to website displaying everything from sturdy garden tools to delicately designed bowls. Wood turning dates back to ancient Egypt, but its popularity as a hobby in the U.S. is relatively new. I'm Jim Meadows. My guests today on Focus love wood turning. Tim Yoder discovered it in his 40s and went on to host a public TV show about it. From Mike Van Pelt, wood turning is part of a lifelong love of working with wood. They'll talk about how and why they do it today on Focus. Our program continues after the news. Welcome to a woodworking edition of Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. You know, my own attempts at woodworking were brief, mostly occurred in childhood when I owned a Mattel Power Shop, the original 1960s version, a truly dangerous toy in the wrong hands. I sort of mean that as a compliment. It was electric. It came with safety goggles. It was capable of cutting real wood, pine anyway. It could be set up as a jigsaw, a drill press, a disc sander. But the feature that fascinated me was the lathe, which allowed me to shape sticks of wood into an endless succession of miniature chair legs. Now, if I had pursued the world of the Mattel Power Shop a little farther, I might have found that there's more that can be done with woodworking on a lathe. And my guests on today's show certainly know all about that. They're both experts on woodworking, and in particular, wood turning, the craft of working wood on a lathe. They're both involved with CU Woodshop Supply in Champaign and its School of Woodworking, which is holding its fourth annual fall festival this weekend in Champaign. We have the lead instructor, Mike Van Pelt, from the CU Woodshop Supply Woodworking School with us. And we will learn from him how CU Woodshop Supply has become a gathering place for folks who love woodworking. But right now, let's talk to someone who will be the guest of the CU Woodshop this week, and that's Tim Yoder. Tim, welcome to Focus.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, Tim may be familiar to some of you. He's been one of the featured talents on public TV do-it-yourself shows. Tim, your show was Wood Turning Workshop. Was that the official title?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Well, it ran for several years on public TV, including WILL-TV, and most recently on the PBS Create channel. And nowadays, you're issuing DVDs. You have a Wood Turning with Tim video series that you can find on YouTube.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we branched out once the show was put on hiatus. My buddy Brian, who worked with me on the show, we still kept our day jobs, but on the side, we started to release full-length instructional DVDs. But then also to keep paying it forward, which was the whole purpose of the original show, we put free video tips on YouTube, and we have over 50 right now.
What sort of reaction have you gotten from the YouTube videos?
Really good. We're well over 100,000 hits right now, and we've only been doing it for a couple of years. And it's good feedback, too, because I learn a lot from some of the comments people put on there. One project that we just did recently, they said that'd be a great project for a child to learn. And that's an important aspect of wood turning right now. We're trying to bring in a younger audience because most of my wife always joke, you know, she's lucky I have groupies who are, you know, 75-year-old men. So she has nothing to worry about.
Well, Tim, the thing that gets me, you've been in TV a long time, but I gather that wood turning is a relatively new activity for you. How did you get into it, and how did you get on TV with it?
Well, I've been in working in commercial and public television for over 30 years, and when I first started working at Rogers State University at their public TV station where I work now, I did a show called Expressions where I produced it, shot it, I had a host, and we'd go find people who expressed themselves in many different ways. And one day we did a show on Ron Fleming, who's a local wood turner here but also known worldwide, and he was one of the pioneers of wood turning in that he would turn a vessel like a bowl or a vase, but then he would carve on it. He's a phenomenal carver, and he'd use nature as his inspiration for the design. Well, like I said, my whole career, all I've done is video. So, you know, I worked in commercial TV at the CBS affiliate. I would work all day on something that lasted a minute 30, and it was here and gone. And, you know, I won awards, things like that, but it was always gone. You can't hang a videotape on the wall and show someone. So I'm watching Ron make this piece of wood into this beautiful shape, and I realized all of a sudden that thing is going to outlive him. That thing will sit on a table. People will walk by and go, wow, who contributed that? It's almost like all of a sudden just a religious experience. I realized all of a sudden that's a tangible legacy there. And it was really neat. It really called to me. And I think within a week I went out and bought a lathe and tools and started destroying wood in my shop.
And I just want to say right now, we welcome your calls and emails here on Focus TV. You have questions about wood turning, maybe your own experiences with working with wood. You can call in and talk to Tim Yoder and also talk to Mike Van Pelt at 1-800-222-9455. That's toll-free, 1-800-222-WILL. You can also email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. The wood turning you do, is it very different from what Ron Fleming was doing?
Yes. I joke about it with the show Wood Turning Workshop and with what we do now with our other wood turning. I can kind of consider our product to be the gateway drug to wood turning. We do the simple projects. We do some complicated ones. But mostly the whole purpose of the show is to show that this isn't that scary, it isn't that hard, and anyone can do it. And then once we get those people hooked out there and they get really into it, there are a bunch of turners out there who are so high-end, so high-level, that there's no limit to what you can do with wood turning. Ron has a piece in the White House Permanent Collection, and a couple other people who in my own club have pieces in the White House Permanent Collection. So right now my stuff is in the Permanent Wife Collection, but I'm hoping one day to get a little bit higher with it.
Now, I'm trying to really wrap my mind around this, thinking of the chair legs I was making as a kid. Of course, things which are severely symmetrical.
Yes.
When I look at objects made through wood turning, they're not all like that at all. And what am I missing here as to how wood turning works?
Well, you're absolutely right with the symmetrical. That is the majority of what wood turners do. They put a piece of wood on the lathe. The lathe actually holds a piece of wood on each end and spins it. You simply have a tool. You have the sharp edge. You're the cutting piece. And you put it up on a rest and then just introduce the tool gently to the wood, and you take away the wood. And you wind up with like a bowl shape or a vase shape or a honey dipper, things like that. But then there are other people who are taking that, and instead of mounting the piece of wood, they'll do a little turning. Then they move it on one end. They tilt it up or something, so all of a sudden it's out of balance. So they start turning on the out-of-balance part. It's really more complicated to explain, but once you see it, it's like, oh, I see. That's pretty easy.
Okay. How complex has your own attempts gotten as far as that's concerned?
I've tried to dabble in a little bit of everything, and I'm definitely a master of none. Just looking at the shelves right here, I've got a ornamental holiday bell where it's two pieces of wood, one piece is carved after you turned it. Where I like to get my complication that I love to do the most is what I call turning ugly wood, a piece of wood that has a rotted side to it or something like that. So when it starts spinning, your tool is actually skipping across that void, so you're turning air half the time. But what I get to do at that point is I get to reveal the beauty of what nature actually made inside that piece of wood, and I'm kind of just assisting to get it out into the light.
Just to clarify my mental picture here, is the wood always rotating or rotating at a fast speed when you're working on it as a wood turner?
It's always rotating. The bigger the piece of wood, the more lopsided it is, the slower you have the lathe spin. And little tiny things like we have our ink pen and pencil pen kits, and you turn the barrel of the pen, and that you have spinning upwards of 3,000 revolutions per minute. Now, if I had a big chunk of wood on the lathe that I was trying to get roughed out, roughing out means taking off the bark and all the to make it smooth, you know, it's kind of out of shape, I might have it spinning at 150 RPM. If you spin it too fast, you can have a very exciting time watching that piece of wood fly across the shop.
Now, I'm wondering, I've seen at least some pieces of wood, which I gather now come from wood turning, which just look incredibly delicate, bowls and things like that. And I'm just trying to imagine how it's done without just the whole thing shattering apart while you're working on it?
Patience and persistence and practice, the three P's. You definitely have to have sharp tools. And the one difference is if I was a woodworker, I have a table saw and a band saw, and I push the wood through those blades, and I can do a lot of wood through that blade before I have to get new blades. With wood turning, you actually have a grinder that you take your tool to, and you sharpen the edge of the tool. Well, every 5-10 minutes when you're turning, you actually need to go back and resharpen. But a very, very sharp tool will allow you to just take what I call feathers of wood off. It's almost like it floats in the air. You're taking off such a fine little bit of wood. I have sitting on my shelf right now a little goblet I turned a few years ago. It's only 4 inches tall, and the cup, the goblet part on the cup and the foot are only about a half inch wide. But the stem on it is the rest of it, 4 inches, and it is probably 1/16 of an inch wide. So you can do extremely delicate work with this.
We're talking with Tim Yoder, who's going to be in Champaign this weekend for workshops at the CU Woodshop Supply, and that's over on, well, I should ask the lead instructor right here, Mike Van Pelt. How do you find the place?
We're located at 1401 Parkland Court. I think everyone knows where the big gold macaroni is over by the Crafts Factory.
That's the corner, I believe, of Bradley and Mattis.
Yes, sir. And we're just located about a half a block west of there, back in behind the Hardee's. We're back in kind of a little industrial park, and you'll find the CU Wood Shop. You'll see our store, and you'll also see the large building that contains our school.
Okay. And Tim Yoder will be giving some workshops there, I believe, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And they should contact you folks. The website, what's the best?
Our website is, of course, www.cuwoodshop.com. And we're at 355-1244 if you have any questions or would like to have a little bit better directions.
That's area code 217-355-1244 to talk to CU Woodshop Supply. Tim Yoder, of course, during these workshops, you'll be able to, talk one-on-one with people who have come in to register and take part in this.
Absolutely.
What's the trick?
Well, sorry, that's I don't know if you're hearing that in the background. That's our puppy. Dooley, he's a 13-month-old, 105-pound German Shepherd.
What's the challenge of doing this on TV and trying to impart useful information, and really it's useful working with your hands sort of information through television?
It's really, when we approached doing the show, we looked at the different, the big dogs like Norm with his New Yankee Workshop and a few of the others out there. The difference with wood turning and wood turning is that with woodworking, you can stay on a wide shot. You can show the whole table saw and see the wood going through. With wood turning, if I take that tool tip and I move it a 16th of an inch or 3 degrees a different way, I'll either have a beautiful cut or I'll get what we call a catch, is where the tool digs in. So we had to approach this from the angle of, it really helped. I'd never been on camera before when I started the show. I'd always been behind the camera.
By this point, about 25 years in TV, but never in front of the camera.
No, and I tell you, the first 2 years, the show went national right away, so people who watched the show got to watch me learn to every mistake on earth as far as hosting for the first 2 years before I finally got comfortable at being in front of the camera. But anyway, we went with extreme close-up shots. So the tip of the tool, say that's about an inch. That would literally fill nearly the entire screen. So they could actually see the minute turn of the tool and see how it made the cut. And it was really rewarding. The very first DVD we sold was to a person who lived in the town where our TV station is. And he came in to buy the DVD. And he said, well, this is the first time I've ever been able to see how the tool works. And I thought, well, that's great. Well, he's legally blind. And so he has to watch the TV from about 3 inches away. But he was able to see how the tool was turning for the first time in his life, and so he's been turning ever since.
Okay. We have a caller now on line four, a caller from Belgium, Illinois, and good morning. You're on Focus.
Yeah. Yes, good morning to you all. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I want to congratulate you, Mr. Meadows. The previous host, Mr. Inge, I've listened to this show for 20-some-plus years, and I always encouraged him to have a woodworker. And I think these two gentlemen are the very first woodworkers you've ever had on Focus 580, at least in the last 20-some years, anyway. So congratulations to you all about that. But to move on, I am involved with the AAW, which Mr. Yoder knows what it is, and your other guest does too. Actually, this Saturday, the local chapter of the AAW, which is the Flatlanders, which is located over in Champaign, is having what they call Turning Saturday. I'm a demonstrator there for one particular thing. I'm involved both in the Champaign Club and the Indianapolis Club, so I've been around askew once or twice, and do know a little bit about wood turning. And I wanted to encourage people to look into the AAW and to the Flatlanders, because they definitely give people a lot of instruction into wood turning and stuff. But enough of the harping here. I'd like to talk to Mr. Yoder one moment about something that might not be too terribly interesting to everybody else here, but is extremely interesting to me. Mr. Yoder works on a Stubby Omega 1000.
Yes.
It's a type of lathe. It sounds like something out of Harry Potter, but it's really a lathe. And it's a beautiful big lathe that's produced in Australia, except they don't deliver those lathes here to the United States anymore. They only deliver a 750, which is a bit smaller of a model. And I was wondering, Mr. Yoder, do you know anybody that sells used 1000s?
Well, I don't know the exact address for it, but I know that there is a Stubby forum and online somewhere, and that's where somebody will post, "I'm selling my lathe."
Yes.
And I tell you, when they come up, they go quickly.
Yes, they do, don't they?
It's kind of like, they call the one-way the Cadillac of lathes.
No.
And I call this thing the beast of the lathes. I mean, and it's so versatile. It's really phenomenal. For people out there who are listening, a lathe basically is a piece of equipment that it's straight, and it has two ends, and you use those two ends with some little add-ons to pinch the wood so it spins. Well, the Stubby lathe took it even further. They have a turret on the end, so you can spin the bed of the lathe to the side. You can go off this way, off that way. And to turn between centers is a technical term. It's the safest way to turn because the wood's being held by two ends. I can turn a 44-inch diameter piece between centers on the Stubby. That's what makes it so unique.
Yes, and you also are able to turn outboard on very large bowl shape, too, which is nice. I think you can go, 40-some inches on that?
Oh, yeah, and I can still even, and I still have the tailstock up there if I need it.
Yes, exactly right, which makes it fairly safe.
Well, and I'd like to say one thing. You're mentioning the AAW, the American Association of Woodturners, and the local clubs. Now, those are phenomenal. If it wasn't for the Northeastern Oklahoma woodturners, I never would have learned how to turn. I was trying things myself that were just ridiculously dangerous, and I was making some progress, but then I finally went in and asked, why am I hitting myself in the head with my tool handle all the time? You know, I was doing things so wrong. But it's clubs like yours that really make it possible to teach this craft, because you can learn a lot of wood turning techniques, by watching a video or something like that. But to be hands-on, to have somebody standing right next to you saying, no, try this, move your elbow 1 inch, or go a little bit this way, or raise the tool rest a quarter inch, it just makes a huge difference.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this weekend I'm demonstrating how to make bracelets is the particular item I'm turning. There are people making small boxes, many different things. I travel extensively all across the United States, and I don't demonstrate at every club, but I have been to many, many clubs. And as you say, sir, interesting group of people who always are more than willing to help, and you come up with some fabulous ideas, because bowl turning and chair leg turning are really just the tip of the iceberg. There is so much more to do with it. There's offset turnings, there's multi-axis turnings, there's everything you can think of, and then you can embellish them on top of that, which even adds another total layer of artistic ability to it. So anyway, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, Mr. Yoder.
Well, thank you.
Looking forward to seeing you this weekend, because I'm probably going to stop by CU for a few minutes, because I have been at CU Woodshop many times. I buy things there on a very regular basis. So thank you very much, and thank you again, Mr. Meadows, for a very interesting show. Good
well,
day.
Thank you very much for calling. And we can note the American Association of Woodturners, that's the AAW. If you want to find out more about them, their main website is woodturner.org. And if you want to call up and talk to our guests here on Focus, the number is 1-800-222-9455. That's toll-free, 1-800-222-WILL. I was just catching the enthusiasm in our caller's voice and just thinking this is really a craft that a lot of people love very deeply.
Yes, it's, you know, the analogy I make is if I have a bad day at work and I need to blow off some steam and stuff, and Mike can attest to this, as a woodworker, I can't run out and build a bookshelf in one evening. But as a woodturner, I can go out and make a scoop for my wife's coffee beans, you know, in 30 minutes. I can actually go in, make a complete project, come out, and it's just a release. You know, you get to get all that out of you. And as opposed to being, you know, fractions of an inch and being very specific and careful in how you make your cuts, I always like to say in wood turning, close enough is good enough, because no one's going to know what you are after. They're going to see the finished product, and you go, yeah, it's exactly the way I meant to do it.
I'm wondering on your TV work, because you haven't been wood turning that long, you haven't been doing it from childhood or whatever.
Right.
And I guess you haven't even been in front of the camera that long. Do you think that affected how you approach the program compared to some of the other maker TV shows out there?
Yeah, exactly, because I think when we started doing the show, I'd been turning about 10 years, which is, you know, it's a good amount of time. But at the same time, there are some people who do this for a complete living. So, I have a 40 to 60, 70-hour-a-week job working for a public TV station as it is. So wood turning was something I had to do on the weekends or in the evenings. And I realized that there was a void missing in the wood turning realm to where we had to get people started. We had to get people interested. We had to make it and do it in such a way that they weren't overwhelmed or scared of trying to do a project. And actually, I think my lack of being such an expert in certain areas made me a little more approachable, because I make mistakes on camera and I leave them in the show, because to me, you can't learn how to do it right unless you see somebody do it wrong once in a while. And I got to tell you, I'm a pro at that.
Now that you're also doing these workshops one-on-one, how have those been working out compared to the TV work?
Oh, I love doing workshops because, as I was saying a minute ago, there still is no replacement for standing next to an instructor and having that person say, just do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that. There's a thing with the lathe that we call the dance. You literally have to sway your body from side to side to make certain cuts. And you might be working on a bead, which is just an embellishment, which is only a quarter inch wide. But you literally are swinging your body probably at least a foot and a half to 2 feet. And that doesn't relate sometimes on camera because of the angle of the camera. You can't tell how far someone's moved or what's happening, because you've got to see the tip of the tool at the same time. And, I love doing hands-on classes. And the truth is I always come out of it learning something new myself.
Okay. Well, you'll be there this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, for the Fall Festival at CU Woodwork Woodwork Supply. And Mike, are there still openings in those workshops?
Yes, we have just a few openings, and they can call the store and ask for JW, and he'll get you signed right up.
Okay. Well, Tim, I wanted to thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me and tell us a little bit about wood turning and just the appeal that it has and the work you've done with it.
Well, thank you, Jim, and I appreciate the time to be on the air, because this is a great sport, and we got to get it out there because it's so new in the United States, and in the last 30 years it has just taken off like crazy. And hey, Mike, it's good to hear your voice again. I'll see you pretty soon.
Oh, great. Looking forward to your classes.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim, and we will continue talking more about wood turning and woodworking here in Central Illinois with Mike Van Pelt. after we take a short break. This is Focus on WYLL. Welcome back to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and we're taking a close look today at woodworking. And for the first half hour, the craft of wood turning, that's the cutting and carving of wood, mounted on a lathe to make all manner of objects. It's a craft that, from what I'm reading, goes back to ancient Egypt, but it's been gaining a new following in America the past few decades among do-it-yourselfers. And one place to find out more about it is CU Woodshop Supply out on Parkland Court in Champaign, which runs its own woodworking school and is holding a fall festival this weekend with several types of woodworking workshops. Mike Van Pelt is the school's lead instructor. He's been with us here in the studio. And again, Mike, thanks for coming on the program.
Well, thank you, sir.
Now, we were just talking to Tim Yoder. He was really only been working with wood turning for a few years. He started in his 40s before he brought it to TV. How long have you been working in wood?
Just practically all my life. I grew up on a farm and everything out of necessity. My father was very stern about you never hired anything done. You figured out and done it yourself. So we done everything from building barns to building fences to building our own home. My father was a carpenter by necessity. Both of my grandfathers were carpenters by training. And I just grew up with the love of woodworking and then continued my education, industrial arts teacher. And then got into the industry, and I've been around woodworking just about all my life.
Did you grow up here in Illinois?
I grew up in just south of Covington, Indiana.
Okay.
Small little farming community.
Just south of Covington, and that's just over the border from Illinois.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. What? Of course, you've had woodworking all around you, but what is it? What is it about it that you love? That's kept you with it all these years.
I love the ability to build something with my own hands, and I know perhaps it might sound a little corny, but we live in a disposable age today. You know, we buy a car, you know, planning on trading it off in 3 or 4 years. We're surrounded with fast food. You know, we live a very fast lifestyle, and I like building something with my hands. I particularly love building a quality piece of furniture that I know will long outlive me and keep its value.
Okay, even if you know that there may be a similar object mass-produced in a store that could work as well, there's a special value for something that that you made yourself, and maybe even if you spent a lot more time on it, that, you know, if you were to charge yourself by the hour, the price would go way up.
Oh, yes. You couldn't afford to hire yourself. But that's one good thing about being a hobbyist. We don't have to justify ourselves. I also do some woodworking, you know, for money. And there's a lot of difference in the piece of furniture that I can build for money and a piece of furniture that I can build for myself. I can take the time to do all the detail work. And whether I've got 100 hours in it or 200 hours in it, it just doesn't matter.
Well, if you have a question about woodworking for Mike Van Pelt, or if you have your own comment about your experience with woodworking, give us a call at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WILL. And we're online at will-talk@illinois.edu if you want to email us. Over on line one, we're talking to Waylon from Champaign. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Thank you. I am a woodworker, hobbyist woodworker with about 20 years of experience, and I'm thinking about getting into turning, but I'm not sure I will. I've never done any turning before. And I guess one of the questions I have is, I know that there are these lathes out there that use direct current motors and can go down to very, very slow speeds. And on the other hand, the sort of traditional lathes use a series of belts and pulleys and maybe even gears, I'm not sure, to select a speed of a different, they're incremental speeds, and you can't go in between those increments. I'm wondering if, as a new person getting into it, if it's worthwhile to pay the higher price for the lathes with the DC motors that can that have infinitely variable speed and also much lowest speed.
Great questions. When you come in, I'd like to show you the different lathes that I have, what's available to you on the market. Of course, this weekend is an excellent time for you to visit the store,
right?
Because I'll have all my machinery and tool experts. The gentleman from Technotool will be there, and that's the variable speed motor that you're speaking about. The experts will be there this weekend to answer your questions. However, we can help you at any time. I would like to discuss what your needs are, what you'll be turning.
Okay, yeah.
And we try our best to fit the customer with the tool that will serve your needs.
Okay.
I would, if I was in your shoes, I'd come in and take a look at the Technotool. I'd take a look at the Delta. Also take a look at the Jet and the Powermatic and the Laguna while you're there.
Okay.
And we'll help you make that decision on which machine will fit your needs the best.
What about the Innova?
Technotool is the company who owns Nova.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, fine. Okay, but in general, can you make any comments about the difference between the DC motor type and the belt and gear type?
I like the instant changing of speeds like what the Nova gives me. The Delta, little Delta lathe, the variable speed, has speed ranges, which you're correct. You have to change a belt to get in different ranges. But for general turning, there's nothing that I couldn't turn on either lathe that I would want to turn.
Okay, so there are no, either one will work. It's just
either one would do the job for you.
Okay, and I'm sorry, when did you say the show was in Hoyer?
It's at our facility this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday,
okay,
from 9 to 5 each day.
Okay.
We have all the experts that will be there on the showroom floor. We have a free lunch each day, so please stop by and have lunch with us.
Okay, and where is the facility? I'm sorry.
We're at 1401 Parkland Court, CU Woodshop Supply, 1401 Parkland Court,
okay,
here in Champaign.
Okay, great. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. Bye.
And thank you, Waylon. And I'm wondering, the event here now, some of the workshops, like with Tim Yoder, there are registration fees. Are there things you can see or people you can talk to without those sort of fees?
We have a number of available events that are no charge, that are free. Al, who is a finishing expert from Balin's, will be there. So if you have any finishing questions or you're trying to match some stains, Al's been in the business for years. He's a finishing expert, be able to answer any finishing question that you might have. We got a Bessie Tool. So if you have a clamping or gluing question, Easy Wood Turning will be there. So he's the gentleman who invented the new carbide cutting tools for wood lathes will be there. So if you have any questions on tool design or tool use, representatives from FastCap, a Festool. We got a new chemical from Franmeier that is made with soybeans for stripping furniture that has got a really pleasant odor to it. It doesn't burn your eyes or burn your hands. The finishing expert from Franmeier will be there. Craig Tools, Micro Jigs, the Saw Stop demonstrations. We sell a saw from Saw Stop that if you touch your finger on that rotating saw blade quicker than you can blink an eye, that saw blade will disappear underneath the table and stop in a microsecond. We have a sawmill outside that will be demonstrating, you know, cutting logs, and a number of representatives and stuff in our whole machinery line will be there to answer any question or solve any problem that you might have.
Well, it sounds like a busy time, and I'm wondering, because I just wanted to get talk a little more about CU Woodshop Supply. It is first a store. Woodshop Supply obviously suggests that. But the next part of it, which you were talking about, is a little institution called the Dream Shop. And tell me a little more about that.
Well, Dennis Coleman, our founder and president, was together with some friends, actually from the ski club, and they were all sitting around talking about their love for woodworking. And one guy said, well, you know what, I'd love to have a 20-inch planer, or I'd love to have that big machine, but I can't justify it, and I wouldn't use it. That'd be nice. It'd be nice to be able to share it. So that's what gave Denny the idea that to create a space where we could share the different equipment and you could join and become a member of the Dream Shop and would give you an access. Last inventory, there's over $150,000 worth of equipment in the Dream Shop.
And do participants, do they all... they all help finance this?
Yes. You pay a membership fee up front, and that gives you a membership for life. You own that membership. There are a number of companies who had tried something similar, and they would just rented time on their equipment or so much time in the shop, and the customer had no skin in the game. So if they tore up the equipment, you know, no big deal. But we wanted them to have some responsibility and an ownership. So you actually become an owner and a part owner of the CU Dream Shop. And it gives you access to all this equipment, numeral table saws. There's over $6,000 worth of clamps in the Dream Shop. There's two CNC routers. There's an approved spray booth. Any Festool tool that you can think of is in the Dream Shop for your use. So it just makes a lot of sense.
Now, you come into the Dream Shop if you're a member of it. Do you usually see a group of people there, people working on their own, or is I'm just wondering what the atmosphere is
like? One unique thing about the Dream Shop, it has created a family. And each member of the Dream Shop has their area of expertise. And if you're wanting to turn and you need some questions, Vicky is usually in the shop around the lathes, and Vicky will help you get started on the wood lathes. Alan is a CNC router expert, so Alan can help the other members learn how to use the CNC routers. Mike Sargent is an expert finisher. So if you have a finishing question on doing your project, so the memberships have kind of made this blended family of woodworking experts that all help each other. And it's just a wonderful environment to work.
It just sounds like, and I was just struck by, I heard about somebody named Vicky. So this is not just strictly a men's club.
No, sir, it's not. We have a lot of women, and most of my classes now, it will be 50% or more women in the woodworking classes. The machinery has taken all the drudgery. You don't need to be a big, strapping, strong man, you know, to do woodworking anymore. The machinery has taken the drudgery out of woodworking, and we're seeing more and more women who want to be creative, and they want the quality furniture in their homes, and they either can't afford it or don't want to pay that kind of money for the furniture on the market. They want to build it themselves.
Well, this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Still time to get your questions and comments in about woodworking, wood turning, as we were talking earlier with Tim Yoder, but woodworking in general with Mike Van Pelt. He's the lead instructor at the school at the CU Woodshop Supply, also home of the Dream Shop in Champaign. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-WYLL. You can email us at will-talk@illinois.edu. We tweeted out, our producer Lindsay Moon tweeted out a question on our Twitter feed at Focus580. Has anybody ever made you something? And we've already gotten one response about from Susan, who received a rolling pin from a dear friend had made for her, one that she still cherishes and uses. And that, I guess, goes to what you were talking about, the idea of just the solidity, just the permanence of things you make yourself, not just to have around with you, but also to give to others as well.
I'm from a big family, so at Christmas time, at Thanksgiving, we draw names. We have a $100 limit. My sister-in-laws try to rig the drawing so I'll get their name, because with $100 worth of material, I can build a really nice gift. So it makes me feel really proud that, you know, that they want my work, and then I'm really happy to be able to build a piece of furniture or something for them that will last a lifetime.
And you know it's going to stay around.
You know it's going to stay around.
Susan, who tweeted about the rolling pin, also Did the CU Woodshop Supply have a role in building the new gazebo at the University of Illinois Japan House?
Yes, we did.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was kind of kept on the quiet because they didn't want a lot of publicity or a lot of kind of people in the way. So CU Woodshop just donated some labor, and we got to go down there. Lowell and Alan and Chris and Mark from the Dream Shop all went down and was able to help get the gazebo built. So it's just kind of a CU kind of helping pay back a little bit, a little payback.
What sort of woodworking techniques would you see in the gazebo itself?
Well, of course, it was Japanese influenced, so you saw a lot of Japanese joinery and very distinctive Japanese style.
Okay, what sort of wood is there?
You saw a lot of cedar and some mahogany.
Okay, so that's you can just go out right there at the Japan House out on, I believe that's on South Lincoln, and see a little example of work from the folks at the CU Work Woodshop Supply.
Yes, please.
And I'm wondering, we're talking about a whole body of skills that sounds like it's passing on. Is this something that you think is that interested in this? Is growing in a new way that wasn't there before? I mean, you come from a family where everybody did this, you know, not necessarily for fun. It was just as a matter of course in getting through daily life. But this seems like the way that this sort of revival and the maker movement in general has come along to be something a little different.
As many of you know, they destroyed most of the industrial arts programs that most of us knew that, you know, I'm 58 years old and we all grew up with an industrial arts program in our schools. We've seen that kind of destroyed mainly because of liability issues and the schools not having the budgets. But we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel that schools are realizing that every child is not going to be a doctor or a lawyer or a computer programmer. We need carpenters, and we need home builders, and we need cabinet builders, and we need furniture builders. We need people to build our roads and build our highways. So we're starting to see this turning to come back into our schools and this revitalization of woodworking. A lot of my colleagues were all upset when the schools sold all their equipment and closed their programs. But now we're starting to see where the schools are coming back around, and we're starting to sell the schools new equipment, and we're going to see a revitalization of woodworking because we need them.
The folks who come to the school component at your business, what do they tell you? What do they want to do? What do they want to learn these skills for?
Most of them just want to have a hobby that's productive. You play a round of golf. You got a little score card to show for your day's work. You spend a day in the workshop. My beginning woodworking class, they built a really nice cutting board, a really nice breadboard, a small little toolbox, and it's really nice gifts, and they like seeing the value that they're producing with their hands.
Okay. Is this something, because I can remember my experience working with wood as a kid. I was not the greatest craftsman in the world. Do people come with those sort of, insecurities? I'm just wondering, if this is something they can actually do.
I tell my students, if you come with a smile on your face and a good attitude, and I'll say, well, how did you get here? And they said, well, I drove here. Man, if you can drive a car, there's nothing in the wood shop that you can't learn to do. It's just new skills, perhaps that you haven't seen before, and that's what my job is there. I'm there to help you, to guide you to how to learn the machinery, how to be safe, and how to produce a piece of furniture.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, we have a listener coming in with a question about, what sort of, for the Dream Shop, and that's the cooperative wood shop that we were talking about earlier, What sort of fees are people paying for membership there? What's to expect?
The membership fee is $10,000.
$10,000.
$10,000. And you go, whoa. But it's like me. I'm 58 years old. I went through a divorce. I live in a small apartment. I'll never get my big shop back. So $10,000 gives me access to over $150,000 worth of equipment. It's heated. It's air-conditioned. I have a family of helpers. My brother is a fisherman. My brother owns a truck that pulls the trailer, that hauls his boat. He's probably got over 100 fishing poles, every lure known to mankind. He has way over $10,000 in his fishing hobby. My hobby is woodworking. So if you came into my shop and said, Mike, I want to set up a shop, $10,000 wouldn't set you up a very nice shop. So for $10,000, you can join the Dream Shop, and you have access to all this equipment.
That's a one-time fee?
A one-time fee.
Okay.
So to me, it's a very good value.
And those, but it also sounds like for those people who are really committed, they know that they love woodworking.
Yes. But we had a retired farmer who was had sold his farm, a little bored, and kind of wanted a hobby. He came in, looked around, met everybody in the shop, and said, wow, this is something that I would like to do. And I can just tell his skills have just gotten better and better, and now he's building a full pieces of furniture because he's got the help and the support from his family of friends from the Dream Shop.
Okay. We have an email question here, this is someone who's currently refurbishing an old 1910-ish vintage 30-inch Oliver bandsaw. Are you familiar with these?
Yes.
He says he's having a great time doing it,
yes,
too. He's wondering if there are any, if there's any other people who are working with this old vintage woodworking equipment. Are there antique collectors groups or anything like that around here? Have you heard of anything like that?
If he'd go on a website or go on the internet and do a site, he'll find a lot of old vintage machinery enthusiasts that really enjoy bringing that big old equipment and bringing it back to life, because that bandsaw that this man owns is built like a battleship. It was built when tools were tools, and it would certainly be worth being restored. And he'll find a lot of help online with a number of groups.
This can be, I think, a really absorbing field when not just the products that, not just the pieces that you make, but the machinery itself can engender this sort of interest.
Yes, there's all kind of avenues of woodworking. I have customers who really enjoy building equipment and restoring equipment. I have a certain amount of hours available each week. And see, now I don't enjoy that part of the woodworking. You know, I want to produce a piece of furniture. But one thing that woodworking will allow you is to be creative in your own way.
Mm-hmm. One question we just got in an email, just wondering, now you started doing this as a kid, I take it.
Yes, sir.
What's a good starting, what's a good starting stage? When can kids start learning this? When are they able to start learning this, just in terms of their own development?
Please keep an eye on our website. We are developing new programs. We get so many requests from parents that the school is lacking this, and they want their children to have some sort of industrial arts and some woodworking training, that we've been asked by a number of parents. And so we are currently developing a program aimed at younger children to get them into the wood shop and introduce them to woodworking at an early age.
Okay. And I should say that the person writing in here talks about having a son who's almost 9. Is that the sort of age when people might start getting into this?
One thing we're looking into is, of course, a liability issue. Mm-hmm. But I believe if the parent will attend with a child, I believe I could teach 5- and 6-year-olds woodworking skills.
Okay. We had a question coming in just thinking about, you know, looking at the Dream Shop. Some wanted to know, $10,000 all at once, or how has CU Wood Shop Supply been handling that?
Denny is very open. Denny's our president and our owner, and he's very creative, and he'll work with the individual on an individual basis.
Okay. And for people who are just working at home, I mean, what's a realistic setup just to be able to get started in woodworking if you were?
Again, depending on what you're wanting to make, a person can get set up in the wood turning business for right around $500.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get into building furniture and having the different equipment, Fine Woodworking done an article. They had the $5,000 shop, and then they had a $10,000 shop. So less than $5,000, a person can build a pretty nice home shop.
Well, you know, the hour has passed by here in Focus. I feel I've just gotten a fleeting peek at an entire planet of stuff here as far as the woodworking world is concerned. We've been talking about the craft of woodworking, wood turning for starters, but woodworking in the larger sense in Focus today with Tim Yoder earlier in our show and with Mike Van Pelt. Right now, he's the lead instructor at CU Woodshop Supply in Champaign. They're holding their fall festival this weekend, and they're hosting Tim Yoder for special workshops on wood turning this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you can find more info at their website. The website address for the school component is cuwschool.com. And Mike, thank you very much for joining us
today. Well, thank you, sir, very much.
We welcome any additional thoughts you have about today's program on our website. You can go to it directly at will.illinois.edu/focus and type in your comments there. Today's show was produced by Lindsay Moon. Jason Croft is our technical director. Sari Lesk is our intern helping with production and research. Tomorrow on Focus, the spirit of do-it-yourself is also present at the annual CU Folk and Roots Music Festival. The fifth annual festival takes place this Friday and Saturday in downtown Urbana. We'll be talking to two organizers and one guest performer about the festival. We'll hear a little music as well on Thursday's Focus. Remember, Focus is live each weekday morning at 10, a replay at 8 p.m. on AM 580 and will.illinois.edu. This is Focus on WILL.